about godly faith rejoices. If you're not walking in rejoicing today, something's wrong with your faith. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. You, as a Christian, one of the things that should mark your life very much is that regardless of the circumstances, you have a rejoicing heart. So we're going to stand together, honor our Lord, as we read Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. But I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For if I'm going on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I'll remain and I'll continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Father, we rejoice today. We rejoice that we know the truth of what Paul is saying here. Whether we continue living or we come to you, we can rejoice as Christians. We can look at the future and we can laugh. Father, bless us today. Help us to grow in our faith. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. We have approximately, it's a little more than this, but we have approximately 7,000 promises found in the Word of God. Your faith in those promises is what's going to allow you to rejoice no matter what's happening in your life. In Psalm 37, verse 5, it says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He'll do what? He'll keep every one of those 7,000 promises. Folks, what the Lord has promised, he cannot back out on. God cannot lie. God is all-powerful. Everything that he's promised for you and he's promised for me is going to come to pass. And so we can rejoice even when life seems to be at its hardest. It's not always easy to do, but what we're looking at is growing in our faith. And you say, well, how important is faith? Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it tells us how important our faith is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so in order to please God, you must believe two things. Number one, that God exists. There are people that don't believe there is any God. They can't please him. Number two, you must believe that our God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. If you really believe that, what are you going to do? You're going to earnestly seek Him. How does that work out in life? It works out through prayer time. It works out through Bible study. It works out through seeking His will for your life. When you have those things, we can rejoice in a godly way no matter what's happening in our lives or the lives of those we love. So in Philippians 1:12, he says, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." I don't know if you know this or not, but as Paul writes the book of Philippians, Paul is sitting in a Roman jail. He's been in that Roman jail for almost 2 years now, awaiting to find out whether he's going to live or die. Now, Paul does live through this. He gets released for a little time, but they rearrest him, and he does get his head cut off. We rejoice when the Lord heals, but I hope you understand, you're not going to get out of this life alive. Do you know what the death rate is for the United States of America? It's 100%. Everybody. Folks, we rejoice when people get healed. Uncle Tim there. We're rejoicing. But you have to understand, this life is temporary. No matter how good your health is today, sooner or later, your health is going to decay. That's the way of life. And so whether you're healthy today and you're strong today and you can do everything you want to do today, you ought to rejoice. But if you're not healthy today and you can't get up and do a dance and you can't rejoice in what's happening, you can still choose to rejoice in the Lord. Paul is in a jail. He's lost everything. He can't do his ministry at a church anymore. He's an evangelist. He loves to evangelize. He loves to be a church pastor. But he can't do any of that in a church setting anymore because he's in a jail. But that doesn't mean the game's over. He's still serving. In fact, he says in Philippians 1:13, "As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I will rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I'll remain and I'll continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Jesus Christ will abound on account of me." Folks, the word rejoice is used many times throughout the book of Philippians. And you'd say, how can a man rejoice when he's lost everything? Paul is getting to be an older man now. Paul knows that soon, whether he gets out of jail right away or he doesn't, he knows very soon he's going to pass this life. He doesn't know if he's going to get out of jail, but he says, whether I do or I don't, Christ is being preached, and I rejoice. Folks, if stuff starts to go wrong in your life, your washing machine breaks for the third time, your car's engine, the oil service light keeps coming on, are you still rejoicing? Do you understand it doesn't make a difference if things are going good or things are going bad? We have a command from God. This isn't a suggestion. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, rejoice. Folks, it's so important. In Philippians 3:1, Paul says, finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. And it's a safeguard for you. We get to mumbling and grumbling and complaining when we get sick, when things go wrong, when we're not having the best marriage we ever wanted to have. We can get awful grumpy. But the Lord says, what are we supposed to be doing? Whether everything's going the way you want it to or not, and about half and half in our lives, that's the way it works. Half the time things are going great, and about half the times things aren't going the way we wish they would. But are you rejoicing? Is rejoicing a constant part of your life? If you're walking in the Spirit, it will be. If you're walking in the flesh, it won't be. Do Christians ever walk in the flesh? Every single one I know does, including this one. There are times that I have a hard time choosing to rejoice. The Lord doesn't tell us to rejoice in the trouble we have. He says, rejoice in the Lord. In the trouble that we have. Because we know something. You know, those 7,000 promises, we don't have it in your notes. But one of the greatest promises to me is Romans 8:28. It says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those that love him and that are the called according to his purpose. Folks, our problem is we find it hard to rejoice because many times we're not living for God's purpose. We want God to live for our purpose. We want him to do what we want right now. I don't want to wait till tomorrow. I want to be healed right now. I don't want to wait till tomorrow. I want my husband, my wife, my children to be saved right now. And Lord, if you don't move, I'm not going to be rejoicing. You're missing the whole point. God will move in his time, not your time. God has said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. And it does. We prayed for Mimi's dad 30 years before he placed his faith in Christ, 2 years before he died. 30 years seems like a long time, doesn't it? But I'm glad we didn't give up and we kept rejoicing in the Lord, knowing that he was working. Even when you couldn't see him working, he promises to work. And he did work. And Walt Wagner got saved. Walt said, if I ever came into your church, the walls would fall down. Walt came into this church about 2 years before he died, and the walls didn't fall down. I praise the Lord we kept after it, because now Walt's in heaven along with his wife. In Philippians 4:4, here's the command. Again, this is not a suggestion for every Christian. This is a command for every Christian. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. We don't rejoice in the sickness. We don't rejoice in the pain. We don't rejoice that the washing machine broke. We rejoice in the Lord because he's the one that gives us our help. He's the one that gave us the washing machine in the first place. Yes, you worked for it. But the Bible says, who gives you the ability to work? It's God. And if you think it isn't, sometime have a stroke like my wife just did, and you'll find out that things can change that quick. We think we're in charge. We think we've got control. It's a sad thing to see your wife and she can't get on the leg. Folks, it can happen that quick. But guess what she's doing? She's rejoicing. Why? Because the Lord allowed her to walk for 76 years. He probably will allow her to do it again, but maybe not. But whichever way this goes, Mimi's made a choice. And I hope you make the same choice. I'm going to rejoice no matter what. Is she sad with the way things are going? Yes, we all get sad. But that doesn't mean we don't rejoice in the Lord. because this is a temporary deal. At the very most, she's 76 now, I'm 77. At the very most, another 20, 30 years, guess what? The Bible says she's going to kick like a calf released in the springtime. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but I have. It's a wonderful thing to watch. A young calf let out for the first time out of the stall, out into the yard. Man, they're excited. That's what we've got to look forward to. And so we can rejoice even in the midst of the hardest trials we'll ever hit. In Philippians 1:26, he says, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Paul thinks he's going to get out of jail. He's going to be back with the Galatians again. He's going to be back in Philippi. He's going to continue his ministry. He doesn't know how long, but he thinks he's going to have that happen. And he's rejoicing in it. But he says, my heart is, I would much prefer to be gone from this life and to be in heaven. I hope you can look at that and say, that's for me too. I do enjoy this life. We just went on vacation. We had a wonderful week. It's wonderful in this life. But I hope you understand it's going to be so much better in the next. Man, I hope you're looking forward to it. I rejoice in the fact that I'm not going to live with a sinful nature forever. I'm going to live with a sinful nature probably another 20 years, maybe next week, who knows. But I'm not going to have my problems forever. I'm not going to live in a body that's decaying and hurting all the time. This is temporary. We can rejoice even though we watch our strength go. Will Rogers one time, and we just had an election and we're going to get new leadership, and so most of us are kind of happy about it. Some people are very upset about it. But Will Rogers said one time, thank the Lord we don't get all the government we pay for. I don't know about you, but I'm glad the government sometimes, you know, we have a mixture in the Senate and the House, Democrat, Republican. They can't do much. And I rejoice in that most of the time. I'm glad they can't do much. Because every time they do something, usually it costs me. And it costs you. So when they get deadlocked, sometimes that's a good thing. But our faith should be like a boomerang. I don't know if you know this or not, but when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do you know that God gave you the faith to believe? You didn't work the faith up. You weren't smarter than somebody else. God gave you the faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Even your faith to believe, God gives you that. You didn't work it up. And so we have things to rejoice about. Our faith is the foundation of what's going to happen to us in eternity. Because you had faith to receive Christ as your Savior, you are going to live forever in heaven. New heaven, new earth. We're going to be there. If you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, you can have all kinds of faith in everything else. You're not going to heaven. You're not going to make it. In Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The righteousness of God is given to every man, woman, boy, and girl that receives Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a pastor. I'm not going to heaven because I gave money to the church. I'm not going to heaven because I got baptized. I'm going to heaven because I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. The rest of it I do simply because I love Him. You don't have to get baptized. If you have faith in Christ, you're still going to heaven. You don't have to join a church. If you've got faith in Christ, Dave and I go calling all the time up and down the roads around here, and we see people all the time say, well, I used to go to church, but I don't go anymore. Are you saved? Have you received? Yes, I have. They're going to heaven. You see, when you get the righteousness of God, you can't lose the righteousness of God. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not with a comma, and now you've got four more things you have to do. One thing, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I better get going here. I looked at the clock and, ooh, yeah, We got communion today. So joy is not dependent upon your circumstances. Your happiness is. Happiness comes from the idea, if things are going good in my life, things are going the way I would like them to go, I'm a happy person. It's an outside thing. It's controlled by what's happening around me. Joy is an inside thing. You see, it's the joy of the Lord. It's not your joy. It's His joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When you walk in the joy of the Lord, you're walking in the strength of God. When you lose your happiness, and we all do, I'm not real happy about what's going on with Mimi right now. But I know the Lord's up to something. Consider it pure joy, my brothers. Again, not in the notes. James chapter 2. Or James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you fall into trials of various kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. But perseverance must finish its work so you can be complete and mature. You see, if Mimi responds properly to this, it's going to make her even more mature in her faith. If she doesn't respond properly to it, she's going to have to go around that mountain again. Because the Lord's growing us up. The Bible says it's God who works in you, both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. He uses good things that we consider good. He uses good things that we consider bad to do His work. When that happens to you, and it will, good and bad, both situations, you are to rejoice in the Lord. So if you're going to live a godly life, if you're going to be rejoicing, you have to have a godly vision for your life. You have to look at life the same way God looks at life, because it's His joy, not yours. In Philippians 1, verse 12, He says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. The whole palace guard. Do you understand? The palace guard are the soldiers who are the very best soldiers of the entire Roman Empire because they're guarding the place where the emperor lives. The emperor in Rome is considered a god, not the god, but a god, and so they're guarding him. These are the best soldiers, and every day for 2 years, Paul has been chained to a soldier 24 hours a day. Every 4 hours, they change the guard. What do you think Paul's talking to those guards about? Do you suppose he's talking about the Detroit Lions and how they won the last game at the last kick and the boy? Let's talk about the Lions. Let's talk about the gladiators. Let's talk about the weather. No. Paul's chained, but he's talking about the Lord. And he says, the whole palace guard. How many hundred soldiers that is, I don't know. But every one of them got a chance to hear the gospel. If somebody got chained to you, how much of the gospel would they hear? Folks, it's something we need to think about. What do you talk about most? Is it the Lions? And I'm really happy. I enjoy the Lions. I'm not putting it down. I enjoy sports. I enjoy a lot of things. But we're known most by what we talk about most. And although I enjoy sports, it's a minor part of my life. What's the most important thing to you? Paul says, if I live, it's Christ living in me. If I die, I'm going to be with Christ. It doesn't matter to Paul whether he gets out of jail or he doesn't. Now, he'd like to get out because he'd like to minister a little more, but he's also anxious to get to heaven. Folks, we think when we get older, oh, life's almost done. Oh, it's too bad. Folks, I'm going to live forever. I hope you are too in heaven. I'm not holding up on death. I'm saying, hey, come on, bring it on. I'm ready. Because it's going to be, Paul says, far better, not just a little bit better, far better. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, he says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Do you know nothing's going to hit your life that if you'll walk with the Lord won't advance the gospel? we think this thing's against me. Remember Job, when Joseph got arrested, and now his son Simeon's in jail, and Job makes the lament, all this is against me. Folks, that's not true. It was not all against him. It was all for him. Because by Joseph going down as a slave into Egypt, Jacob thought he was dead, but he wasn't. God had a plan. The plan was that through Joseph, the whole family was going to be saved. The plan was Simeon being in jail was going to bring the whole family down to Egypt where they could live through the famine. Folks, God's got a plan. And sometimes we don't understand exactly what God's plan is, but by faith we can say, if God be for me, who can be against me? And the answer is nothing and no one. That's why we can rejoice when trouble comes, because God's up to something. God loves me. God's not going to let anything touch my life unless it's for my good and for his glory. I hope you understand that about you. Nothing can touch you unless it comes through your Father's hand. And if he allows it, it's for your good. When Job had his 10 children die, how did Job feel? He felt awful. When Job lost his health, when Job lost his wealth, that's hard. But God meant it all for good. And we can't comprehend that sometimes. In the midst of our trials, we take our eyes off the Lord's great love for us. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's exactly what God did. He laid down his life for you and I, that we can live forever with him. If he loves us that much, won't he work everything for our good if we love him and we live a life for his glory? He surely will. Folks, I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to wrap this up and we're going to have to finish this another day. I've got far more left than I've already preached, but I'm sorry about that. But anyhow, we're going to start there next time, and we will finish this message, but I want you to know the Lord wants you to be a rejoicer. Have you ever gone to somebody's house to visit, and the person is terribly sick or terribly upset about a crisis in their life, and you get there thinking, I want to help them, but they've got a heart of rejoicing in the midst of suffering. And when you leave there, they've ministered to you. Folks, that's the way the Lord wants you to be. When you decide, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord in the midst of my troubles, you're going to amaze the unbelievers. They're going to say, how can she possibly be rejoicing in her situation? And you're even going to encourage Christians. I want to encourage you in this because so many people lose their joy. They don't rejoice, and what God says, it should be just the opposite. The closer you get to going home, the more you ought to be rejoicing. We need a lot of learning. We need a lot of education in the things of the Lord so that we don't wind up when the world says, yeah, he said he had faith, but look how he's responding. Folks, they should say, I can't believe the way that guy or that gal is responding. They know they're in trouble. They know they're almost going home to heaven. And yet they're what? They're rejoicing in the Lord. It'll touch lives for God's glory. So we'll start right there another time. Sorry. All right. We're going to go into the communion.